You are listening to Benefit from the Bible. The Bible is God's word of truth to show us our need for Jesus, to save us through Jesus, and to show us how to live for Jesus. If you have questions or needs, please let us know. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, today we focus on Jesus being a God exposed. As we probably found it highly unusual that Jesus was a God who hungered, a God who prayed, and a God who was beaten, today we should also find it unusual that he was a God exposed. Let's understand, with all such things, he did them for us. He did them for our salvation. Yes, it was unusual. Yes, it was radical. But yes, God loves us so very much. Today, as we move through the sermon, we're going to move from Adam and Eve being exposed and then go all the way to the ultimate clothing of righteousness, which is the very clothing that was won by our Lord Jesus Christ through all he did in his perfect living and sacrificial dying, and then that clothing that God put upon us by grace through faith in him. Going to Adam and Eve, we think about the first two people. So let's know that the Bible is true. Let's know that the creation account is true. Let's understand that God made all people through those two people. So there is only one race, that is the human race. So even though we have a great variety of people in the world today, we have people of many different skin colors, many different cultures, many different languages, but all of them came from Adam and Eve. We are all part of the one human race, and it was for the one human race that God promised to send his son, who would put on human flesh and become part of that one human race in order to take away the sins of the world. As we think about Adam and Eve, they were exposed. Going to verse 7 of Genesis chapter 3, the Bible says, "Then, after Adam and Eve fell into sin, the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths." Think about Adam and Eve before they fell. They were truly innocent. How do we know that? They were naked, and they were not ashamed. Now, sometimes we might say the same thing with an infant child. Okay, the infant child is laying there on the changing table, and the infant child is naked, and the infant child is feeling no shame. Well, that's because as an infant, you don't know any better, I suppose. But we can't say that the infant child is truly innocent, because we know that from conception, that child is in sin. However, though, Adam and Eve were not created as infants. They were created as probably young adults. So it was different for them. Right away, with falling, they knew that they were naked. With the fall, it was a terrible thing because it destroyed their innocence. The fall brought upon them immediate spiritual death. The fall brought upon them shame. The fall brought upon them eventual physical death, as well as a number of other issues. What did they try to do? They tried to take fig leaves and sew them together and make clothing. Now, I looked it up, and a fig leaf is actually a pretty good-sized leaf. It is about 10 inches long and 5 inches wide. But it's not just a complete leaf, though. Basically, it's kind of a leaf like my hand. So it has all these places in between. So you talk about see-through clothing. Wow, that wouldn't work so well. So they tried to cover their nakedness. They could not do it. They were truly exposed. And then what happened? They hid. Going on in Genesis 3, the Bible says, "And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, 'Where are you?' And he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. Let's remember that God is omniscient. So that means that God knows all things. God knew even before he created Adam and Eve, he knew they would eat the forbidden fruit. And certainly as they were hiding, did he know where they were? By all means. Would it be any fun to play hide and seek with God? No, that wouldn't work so well. He would always know where we were hiding. What about us, though? Are we trying to hide our sins from God? Do we ever get the idea and say, okay, maybe he can hear what I'm saying, and maybe he can see what I do with my hand, but does he really know what's going on in my mind? Let's be certain that God knows all of it. No matter how hard we try to hide anything from God, we cannot succeed. And then we come to the topic of blame as we pick up in verse 11 of Genesis chapter 3. God said to Adam, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So have you heard of the story? We might call it the blame game. So Adam, he admitted the eating, but he also basically said, "God, it's not my responsibility here." And then, did you notice how he blamed God for having given him the woman? Remember when the woman first came, Adam was excited. Oh, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. He was all excited, but now though, he's thinking in a different direction. Now, instead of thanking God for the woman, now he's blaming God for the woman. Then he also casts the blame upon the woman herself because Adam is saying, in a sense, "God, if she wouldn't have handed me the fruit, I wouldn't have eaten it." Does it sound like, do those sound like legitimate excuses? Well, I don't think so. But then God, of course, confronts the woman. And what does she do? She puts the blame on the serpent. So now let's get more personal. What about us? Who are we blaming for our sins? Can we say, "Well, yes, God, I sinned in this way or that way, but it's not really my fault. He made me sin. She made me sin. These circumstances were such and such that I sinned, but it's not my fault." Do we tend to be that way sometimes? I think we do. But what does God want us to do? He doesn't want us to blame. Rather, he wants us to admit our sins. He wants us to take responsibility for our sins. He wants us to confess our sins. And he wants us to know that in Christ, we have his gift of forgiveness. And then going on here, we jump ahead in chapter 3 now. We go all the way to verse 20, and here we see that God had to take action to cover their nakedness. In other words, they tried, and it didn't work, so now God has to take action. So it tells us in this part of the Bible, the man called his wife's name Eve, and her name means life. The man called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them. Sin brought death, but God had promised that a future descendant of the woman would come and he would defeat the devil and he would destroy his evil work. So we skipped over that passage, but that's there in chapter 3, verse 15. So it was fitting that God would name the woman Eve, which means life, because he understood. So by the grace of God, Adam and Eve understood that this future descendant who was coming, that is the one who would do this important, amazing, powerful work. He would take away the sin of the world, and through him would come the gift of eternal life. So even though Adam and Eve had thrown that away, by falling into sin, now God was saying, there's no way you can get it back, so let me take action. Let me send my son, and he will win it for you, and he will give it to you as a free gift. And then, since the leaves were inadequate to cover their bodies, God took action. So God had to put to death an animal or two. So this was the first blood that was ever shed in all of creation. So God put to death an animal or two, and he made clothing for them in order to cover them. So that covered their physical bodies. But of course, that very first drop of blood coming out of that very first animal, that was pointing ahead to the holy, precious blood of Jesus and what he would do in order to provide the perfect covering, because we need to be covered with his righteousness so that God doesn't see our sin, but rather God sees the perfection of Jesus. And on that basis, we are God's children. On that basis, we are holy in his sight. On that basis, having been covered in Jesus, will God one day welcome us into heaven. So Genesis chapter 3 contains so much, from beginning with perfection, the fall, the punishment for sin, the promise of the Savior, the first sacrifice, so much packed into Genesis chapter 3. Now we jump all the way ahead to Jesus. So we're jumping ahead probably over 4,000 years. We come now to John chapter 19, but before we get into the text, though, let me set it up a little bit. So the first Adam, he fell. He was perfect, but he fell. So now we come to Jesus. He is the second Adam. He does not fall. He is our divine champion. So God had to take action to cover our sins. He promised it in Genesis, but now the action is going to actually be taken in the person of Jesus. Just before I read the text again, sometimes to us, maybe our own sins don't seem so bad. Sometimes we're like, well, I'm not as bad as that guy over there. And sometimes we try to discount our own sins in certain ways. However, though, since God loves us, and since even one unforgiven sin by any of us will result in eternal condemnation, God had to take radical action to remove our sins. We should never think that we're not that bad, so we really don't need Jesus. God wants us to know that no matter how little we have sinned, we are in desperate need of Jesus. And on the other side, no matter how much we have sinned, Jesus is sufficient for us to remove our sins. That is the good news. As I read this section, let's keep in mind who Jesus is, the very Son of God, and let's keep in mind why he was enduring what he was enduring, understanding that at any moment he could have said, nope, I'm not going to do it. It's too painful. It's too hard. I don't love those people that much. But as we think about what he endured, let's remember he endured it for us. He endured it for our salvation. So going again to chapter 19, the Bible says, then Pilate took Jesus and flogged him, in other words, scourged him. I want to read to you a little quote here from a church historian back in the early church time, and he tells a little bit about how horrible it was for someone to be flogged or scourged. So the quote says, victims were lacerated with scourges even to the innermost veins and arteries, so that the hidden inward parts of the body, both their bowels and their members, were exposed to view. So this wasn't just a scratching of the outer skin, but it was ripping all the way through the skin and all the way through to the internal organs. And it was just such a horrible, horrible thing. I can only imagine that many people died in the process of being scourged. Even if they were scourging them prior to crucifixion, some of them probably didn't even make it to the cross because they died. In other words, they were literally beaten to death. So Jesus, he didn't have to do that. He could have stopped it at any moment, but he permitted it because it was the plan of God in order to save us. So he stayed there and he took it all for you, for me, for all. And then it goes on and it says in chapter 19, and the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and arrayed him in a purple robe. They came up to him saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and struck him with their hands. Pilate went out again and said to them, "See, I am bringing him out to you that you may know that I find no guilt in him." So Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." Since our sin, again, no matter how little, no matter how great, since our sin is so powerful to condemn, our sin required the very Son of God in Jesus to be severely beaten, to receive much pain from that crown of thorns, to be mocked by wearing the purple robe, to be pummeled over and over again with people's fists, as well as so much more that is to come with his nailing to the cross, receiving our sins, and so on. Since God and Jesus both love us so much, though, Jesus willingly endured it all in order to cover our sins, in order to make us righteous in the sight of God, the very thing we need in order to have membership in his family. And then in the final part here, we see that Jesus himself was exposed. So earlier Adam and Eve were exposed, so that leads now to Jesus needing to be exposed in order to, in a sense, overturn the curse. The Bible goes on to say, when the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts. What does that mean? People debate a little bit as to what that means. In the Lutheran Study Bible, they think the four parts could refer to the belt, the head covering, the sandals, and the outer garment. A little bit of speculation there. Divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, "Let's not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it shall be." This was to fulfill the scripture, which says, "They divided my garments among them," so that would be the four parts, "and for my clothing they cast lots," that would be for the tunic. So that's a quote from Psalm chapter 22. So the soldiers, the Bible records, did those very things. As I mentioned earlier, God knows everything. So from even before creation, God knew about the fall. God knew that he would make the promise to save, and God knew all the details of what his Son would endure in order to rescue us from eternal condemnation. When we think about the crucifixion being depicted, even here on our processional crucifix, we oftentimes see Jesus covered with a loincloth. But we believe, though, almost with complete certainty, that he was totally exposed. There was no covering at all. And that was part of crucifixion, to have the shame of having to hang there, you know, totally exposed to all who might choose to look. Here's a way to think about it. Since our sins are totally exposed to God, Jesus had to be totally exposed in order to suffer our shame, in order to pay our penalty, and in order to clothe us with his righteousness, the very gift that you and I received through God's work in holy baptism. Please join me in prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, our God in human flesh, we thank you for being exposed for us in order to cover our sins with your righteousness and restore our relationship with God. Help us to ever be eternally grateful. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Questions? Needs? Contact us through our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. This is our regular schedule: Sundays, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45. Now, may the Lord of peace continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all.